you'll take your scriptures in hand, then turn with me to Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 9. We'll be reading from that passage in just a moment. We're going to do a two-week mini-series titled Prayer Power. Prayer Power, because if we ever needed prayer, we need it in 2022. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the best way to start the year off is by recommitting ourselves to be people of prayer. This morning's message is titled Ask, Seek, Knock. Ask, Seek, Knock. I read that Hoagy Carmichael, a very famous singer and songwriter and musician, once decided to take up golf. And so he enrolled and hired an instructor to teach him the game of golf. And at the first session, Carmichael was patiently shown the basics of the game, how to hold the club, how to stand, how to swing, etc. And after about a half an hour of instruction, Carmichael said that he was ready to drive a few balls towards the first hole. So the ball was teed up, and Hoagy stepped up and swung, and the ball sailed down the fairway, bounced on the green, and rolled into the cup. On his first try, he got a hole in one. The instructor was dumbfounded. Hoagy flipped the club to a caddy, then turned to the speechless instructor and said, "Okay, I think I've got the idea now," and just went on. Carmichael was apparently a natural at golf, but for most people, things don't come quite that easily. We don't come into this world knowing everything that we need to know. We need people along the way to teach us, and learning is a process. It's actually a lifelong process, and that's true spiritually as well. When we get saved, we're born again. So we're spiritual babies, and we need to learn everything about living the spiritual life. And we need others to help teach us and guide us and lead us along the way in our spiritual journey. And prayer is no different. We don't get born again and automatically know how to pray. In fact, that's why when we are encouraging people to come to Christ, we usually lead them in what we have come to call the sinner's prayer. We ask them to repeat with us. Why? Because most people don't know how to pray, or they're afraid that they say the wrong thing. And so we want to help. To guide them, to teach them how to come to Christ in faith and repent of their sins and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, we all know that prayer is conversation with God. We know it's talking to God. But it often doesn't come automatically for us. We need to grow in our prayer life. And most of us recognize our need, or we have a longing to know how to pray more effectively. And that desire and need was also expressed by Jesus' own disciples. In fact, if you look at the beginning of the chapter that we're going to be reading from in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says that once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and asked, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." We need someone to teach us to pray. And the disciples had been eavesdropping on Jesus's prayer time, and it sparked in them a desire to be able to pray like Jesus. So they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, the disciples had likely been praying their whole life. Why? Because they were Jewish, and the Jews prayed three times a day. But it was a ritual for many of them. It was an empty repetition. But when they heard Jesus pray, it was different. It was fellowship with God. It was relationship with God. It was powerful. It was alive. And so they came to Jesus with a request, "Lord, teach us to pray," because they wanted what he had. They were not satisfied with their praying. Their hearts were filled with a longing for which they couldn't find an expression. So they asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray." Have you ever felt that longing, that desire? To be able to have a more intimate relationship, a more intimate conversation, a deeper prayer, more powerful prayer, more effective prayer. And that's the longing the disciples had. And we too can ask Jesus, "Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray." The good news is that Jesus is only too glad to answer that request. So in response, he gave them a pattern of prayer. We know it as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, etc. But it wasn't meant to be something that we just memorize and repeat. It was meant to be a pattern of prayer that we would know the elements to include in our prayer, and that we would personalize each of those elements. So when we're praying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we can pray God's will in our marriage, in our home, in our finances, in decisions that we're making. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we can pray about specific needs that we have in our life. When we pray, forgive us our debts, even as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, we can pray for relational problems that we may be having. And so we personalize each and every element of that prayer and make it specific to our time and situation. So Jesus gave them a pattern for prayer, but then he gave them a parable to teach them about the attitude that is needed in prayer. Persistence, that we would persist. That is essential to receiving any answer from him. So he told the story of a man that received a midnight visitor. Many of you might remember that story. A man has a guest that comes to him at midnight, and he has nothing to offer him. So he goes to his neighbor, and he knocks on his neighbor's door, but it's midnight. It's an inconvenient hour. And so his neighbor says, go away. You're going to wake my entire family up. But the man keeps knocking and knocking and knocking. And so eventually the neighbor gets up and gives him food to offer to his guest, so just so that he would go away. And the point of the parable is not that God is reluctant to answer us or to meet our needs. The point of the parable is that God is not like that reluctant neighbor, that God is only too ready and willing to answer us and to meet our needs. And then in verses 9 through 13, Jesus teaches us in a different way the importance of persistence in prayer and the willingness of God to respond. He gives us wonderful promises that God answers prayer and that God gives the Holy Spirit to all who ask him. But he gives us some very important principles about prayer that we sometimes overlook. Read with me, if you will, verses 9 through 11. Jesus said, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Now, the King James Version would say, ask and you shall receive. But this translation is a little bit more accurate to the Greek, because these verbs are in the present progressive tense, which means it's an ongoing action. So he says, I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone, turn to your neighbor and say, everyone. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, everyone. Amen. Do you know who everyone includes? Everyone. Amen. Write that down. It's a profound revelation. Everyone means everyone. Wonderful. And so he says, for everyone who asks, receives. You know, sometimes we think, you know, oh, God just answers so-and-so's prayer because they're so righteous, they're so holy, they're so this. He said, everyone, amen? Everyone who asks receives, and there it is again, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And so in each of these verses, we see an action that God calls us to take, ask, seek, knock, and then we see the result. We see his response. He actually gives us a promise that if we keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, he will respond. He will answer. We will find. The door will be opened unto us. But not only does it reflect the persistence that's needed in prayer and the promise that God has given us, but it also indicates an intensification of prayer, moving from asking to seeking to knocking. It speaks of an increasing fervency and passion in prayer. And there's so much spiritual truth in these verses, but today I want to focus on looking at the words ask, seek, and knock, because each word teaches us to pray by revealing a different aspect of prayer. First of all, asking is petition. Very simple. Asking is petition. It's making our request known unto God. And this is not what we normally think about as prayer. And it's the most basic and simplest form of prayer. But what I want us to see in this is that asking connects us to God. Asking connects us to God. Jesus tells us that the Heavenly Father knows what we have need of even before we ask, right? That's what the Bible says. So why then are we repeatedly told in Scripture to pray, to ask? ask to keep on asking. Why? Because prayer connects us to God as the source of everything that we need. Prayer is not about informing God about our needs, because He already knows our needs. Amen? But prayer is about inviting God into our life, inviting God into our situation, because He won't force Himself on anybody. Amen? But we invite Him through prayer to move in our life, to move in our situation. And as we spend time in prayer, we are experiencing fellowship with God. We're experiencing fellowship with God. It deepens our relationship with Him. It increases, prayer increases our dependency on Him. We learn to know and trust Him more and more every time we pray. And then we see the answer and our faith grows. In an article titled, "Prayer is Not a Grocery List," the writer states, "Prayer is inviting God into our circumstance, into our hopes, into our fears, into our dreams, and into our pain. Prayer is not working our way through a grocery list of requests that we desire God to perform or answer the way we expect Him to. Prayer allows us to live relationally with God." Prayer is not a grocery list. Prayer allows us to live relationally with God. We learn to talk to God about everything. We talk to Him all the time, throughout the day. I have conversations with God all the time. I have conversations with God when I'm doing my work. I have conversations with God when I'm driving my car. I have conversations with God in the shower. Amen. I have conversations with God all the time. So through prayer, we learn to talk to God about everything throughout the day, wherever we are, because He is that best friend, that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is with us all the time. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we mustn't think of prayer as a spiritual vending machine. You know, we put a prayer in and we get an answer out. That's what a vending machine does, right? You put, nowadays it's a dollar or two, you put a dollar or two in, whatever, and then you get a product out. And sometimes we view prayer that way, that we put a prayer in and then we get an answer out. But that's not the way that we should look at prayer. That's why Jesus sets the request, "Give us this day our daily bread." He sets that request in the context of relationship, right? We don't just rush into His presence and say, "Give me today what I need." No, we start, "Our Heavenly Father,
worthy
are You."
Exalt You, Lord.
See, it's about relationship.
Yes, God.
You know, what would you think, parents, if every time your kids saw you, they didn't say, "Hi, love you, Mom, how are you doing?" But they just came in with their hand out.
No.
I need $20 for gas. I need $50 for my yearbook. I need $100 to get new clothes. And they never say, "Hey, Mom, I love you. Let's spend some time together. Let's watch a movie together." How would you feel? And yet sometimes that's how we treat prayer, right? We just rush into God's presence with our hand out. "God, I need, I need, I need. I want, I want, I want." But we need to come into God's presence with our hand uplifted. "I love You, Lord. I worship You. I honor You. Lord, I just want more of You in my life." And then eventually we get to, "Give us this day our daily bread." Amen. But the most important thing is our relationship with Him. And what a blessing and privilege it is to be able to talk to our loving Heavenly Father about everything that is going on in our life all the time. Amen. And that's one reason the word "pray" is in the progressive tense, because it's an ongoing conversation. We are praying continually. Amen.
Yes.
Talking to God all the time. If you have a close friend, right, you may not talk in a couple days or whatever, but the moment you connect, it's like there was no time in between. You just pick up the conversation because it's an ongoing conversation, right?
Correct.
Your life is an ongoing conversation.
Correct.
And that's how prayer was with God. It's an ongoing conversation. And we talk to Him all the time. We talk to Him about everything. We talk to Him about wherever we are. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. And now the great thing is that if when you're praying, you even move your lips, nobody will know if you're in public, because now everybody has those little Bluetooth headsets and they're talking anyway. So nobody will think you're strange. They'll just think you're on the phone. Amen. So you can talk to him in the grocery store. You can talk to him when you're driving in the street. Nobody will think you're crazy. Well, they'll think you're talking on the phone. You may be crazy, but they'll think you're talking on the phone. Amen. But you can talk to God anywhere, at any time, about anything. And that's the wonderful thing about prayer. Amen? And it's all about relationship. It's all about that connection with God. Hallelujah. Asking also connects us to God's sufficiency. So asking connects us to God relationally, but asking also connects us to God's sufficiency. R.A. Torrey, the evangelist, in his book, The Power of Prayer, states, prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. All that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer, but we must use the key. Prayer can do anything that God can do, and since God can do anything, prayer is omnipotent. Wow. Wow. All that we need is found in God, and prayer is the key that unlocks all of the resources of heaven. Hallelujah. And it releases all that God is into our life. We sing a song here sometimes that says, there is nothing that I need that he can't supply. Amen. Church, there's nothing that you need that he can't supply. And I'm not just talking about money, but I'm talking about strength. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about comfort. I'm talking about hope. Hallelujah. Anything that you need, healing, it's found in him. Hallelujah. There's nothing that you need that he can't supply. And asking also claims the good things that God has promised. Asking claims the good things that God has promised. I read that in God's word, in the Bible, there are more than 3,000 promises that God has made. Now, to be honest with you, I didn't go page by page and count them. But I know there's a lot of promises in there, so I'll take this commentator's word that there's 3,000 promises, because if you read through the Bible, you'll see that it's jam-packed with promises. How many of you agree? Amen? So the Bible says he has given us exceeding great and precious promises. Hallelujah. Promises of forgiveness, promises of peace, promises of provision, promises of victory, promises of breakthrough, promises of healing, promises of prosperity, promises of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the list goes on and on. And it's through asking that we claim those promises. But we don't just ask one time. We keep asking. Now, I know that there's a teaching that goes around sometimes that says, you only ask once, because if you ask more than once, it's a lack of faith. No. The fact that you keep on asking, you are continuing to exercise faith. You are continuing to stand upon the promises of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, when I was battling cancer, there was a wonderful recording of healing scriptures that someone has released online. And I would pray that every single day along with that recording. Every time they quoted a scripture, I would declare it over my life. And sometimes I'd do it several times a day. It wasn't because of a lack of faith. It was because I was continuing to have faith and to trust God. Hallelujah. And praise God. Here I am 5 years later. God healed me. Praise the Lord. And if you didn't see my post online, I had my final 5-year visit with the oncologist. And he said, we consider you cured. And in my heart, I said, Jesus declared me healed already 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you have to stand in faith. You have to stand in faith. It's not just something that you pray one time. Oh, God, you know, I pray that you, every single day, you have to stand in faith. God, I'm believing. I'm trusting in your healing virtue, or whatever it is that you have need of. You stand on his promises every single day. That's how we claim the promises of God. James reminds us, we have not because we ask not. So if you need, then ask. Hallelujah. Jesus said, keep on asking and you shall receive. Keep on asking and it will be given unto you. That's one of the most amazing and important promises in the entire Bible. Keep on asking and it shall be given unto you. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. God always keeps his promises. In fact, he stakes his very name on it. The Bible says he honors his word above his name. Above his name. We need to just claim his promises through expectant and persistent prayer. So prayer is petition. It connects us to God. It connects us to his sufficiency, and it claims his promises. Then we move on to the next part of that promise that Jesus gave us. He says, keep on asking and you shall receive. But then he said, keep on seeking and you shall find. And seeking is about pursuit. And this is a deeper level of prayer. Jesus said, keep on seeking and you will find. Seek God and you will find him. See, in petition, we're asking for God to do something for us. But in seeking, we are seeking God. Seek God and you will find him. And the word seek is a very strong word. It means to search for something, to search for something in order to find it. Do you remember the parable Jesus told of the woman who had lost a coin? And man, she swept those dirt floors in her little house, and she sought everywhere she could in order to find that coin. Just think of it this way. When you have lost your keys and you need to go somewhere. Have you ever been in that situation? And man, you have to turn the house upside down. That's seeking. And you're not going to stop till you find them, because you can't leave till you find them. Amen? Or think of a parent who has lost a child. Man, they're going to launch a diligent and desperate search, and they're not going to stop until they find their child. That's seeking. And God said in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek for me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And the beautiful thing is that God doesn't hide himself and make it difficult for us to find him. Amen. God wants to be found. One writer shared that when she and her older sister would play hide and seek as kids, if her older sister was hiding and she was taking too long to find her, or she was headed in the wrong direction, her sister would make a noise so that her baby sister could find her. And you know what? God is a lot like that. When he sees us seeking for him with our whole heart, he will do something to reveal himself. Amen. Or if we're heading in the wrong direction, God will do something to get our attention. Amen. What happens may not be all that pleasant, but what comes of it will be all the more important. Amen. Is that it draws us back to him. It draws us to seek him. Hallelujah. Because we were headed in the wrong direction. And what's most important is that we would come to him, that we would walk with him, that we would know him, that we would love him, that we would serve him. So in the divine game of hide and seek, God will always draw us to himself, and God is always going to let us win. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. When I used to play games with my niece, you know what? I had to let her win a lot of the time. You ever played with a kid? Yeah. And you got to let him win. Well, God wants us to find him. So God lets us win all the time. Hallelujah. Because God wants us to know him, to love him more. He wants us to find him. And seeking his kingdom causes our life to be transformed. When we seek his kingdom, our life is transformed. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and his righteousness, and he will give you everything you need. Some of us, we stay on the first level of prayer, which is ask. We keep bringing our needs to God. But when we get to a deeper level of prayer, which is seek, we're seeking God, and we find as the byproduct of seeking God and loving God and going deeper in God, that a lot of times we don't even have to ask for what we need because God is already meeting our needs. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And so seeking his kingdom, Jesus said, seek the kingdom above all else and his righteousness, and he will give you everything you need. Now, what is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God in our lives. So we are seeking to live a life that is surrendered to God, a life of godliness. So we come to God in prayer and we say, Lord, I surrender myself to you. Lord, I'm asking you to take complete control. God, I want you to rule in every area of my life. Your kingdom come in my life, Lord God. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Let my life be completely yielded to you. That's what seeking the kingdom of God first is all about. We're seeking to live a life completely surrendered and yielded to God, a life that fulfills his will and his purpose. We're seeking to be ruled by his Holy Spirit, to be governed by the Holy Spirit. And the result of being governed by the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit that will be produced in us. We become filled with love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faith. Amen? Hallelujah. There are some people that they name the name of Jesus. Nobody that goes here, they name the name of Jesus, but they got such an ugly spirit that they could get down on all fours and fight bulldogs for a living. Amen? When you see somebody like that, you know they haven't been seeking God. Because when you're seeking God, then his spirit begins to rule in you, and it begins to change you, and it begins to produce the fruit of the Spirit in you. And the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ, so you are becoming more and more like Christ. Hallelujah. When we seek first the kingdom of God, we're seeking to be obedient to his word. We're seeking to live a life that is righteous, a life that is pleasing to God. We're seeking God's will in all areas of our life. And this is something that we need to pray every day. Jesus taught us to pray daily, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, and make it specific by asking him to rule in your life, to rule in your marriage, to rule in your family. And if you're struggling in a particular area of your life, surrender it and ask him to rule in that area. And then pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in my life, Lord God. I want to serve you. I want to fulfill your purpose. Let your will be done in this area. Let your will be done in that area. And pray specifically and do it every single day. So seeking is pursuit. And he promises that to everyone who seeks, they will find. He guarantees it. Hallelujah. And then we come to the third type of prayer, the third level of prayer. It's knocking. And knocking is passage. So asking is petition, seeking is pursuit, and knocking is passage. It's passage. Doors indicate a passageway from one place to another. And knocking opens the door of heaven. We get passage into a different realm spiritually. We see the door of heaven opened in John 4, verse 1. John writes, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And then he was called to come up higher. John had found an earthly passageway to another reality, the place where God lives and reigns, because after he was invited to come up, he found himself in the throne room of heaven. But that door didn't just open by accident. John was on the Isle of Patmos. He had been exiled there to die for preaching the gospel. And the Isle of Patmos was a barren rock in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea that was used by the Roman Empire to send people there to die because it had the harshest of conditions on that little rock. And yet, here John is on this barren rock in the middle of the ocean, sent there to die. And in Revelation 1:10, we read, it was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. Here he is in the worst of conditions. And he said, you know what? It's the Lord's day. It's Sunday. I'm going to worship him. And he said, I was worshiping in the Spirit, and suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. God began speaking to him and revealing himself. John was not allowing his circumstance to keep him from worshiping God and entering into his presence. In fact, it's when we are in the worst of circumstance that we need most to worship him. We need most to worship him. It was the Lord's day on the Isle of Patmos, and without a worship team to pump him up, without any music, without any support of a congregation to encourage him. John is still determined to worship God, and not just to go through the motions, but he is determined to meet with God. He is knocking on heaven's door. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And he begins to worship the Lord in the Spirit. And let me tell you something, when you pray in the Spirit, that's why you often hear us encourage you to pray in the Spirit, that if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, to pray in tongues. Because when you pray in the Spirit, it begins to open up the door of the spirit realm, and it takes us into deeper dimensions of the presence of God. And as John is worshiping in the Spirit, the Lord starts speaking to him. And it is in this context of worshiping and God speaking that John sees an open door into the heavens. Hallelujah. And John is given access to the very throne room of heaven. John is able to see that God is still on the throne. You see, it was a terrible time in the Roman Empire when John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. There was an emperor that was called the Madman Emperor. He was loony bins, and he was persecuting Christians. He was killing Christians. And so it was a terrible time. It seemed like the world was out of control. And so in the midst of this, with a madman on the throne of the world, God shows John, hey, I'm still on the throne. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And God gives John an incredible prophetic revelation of how he's working in all of history to the fulfillment of his eternal purpose. Regardless of our circumstance, we need to persevere in knocking on heaven's door, because it gives us entrance into the throne room of heaven. It gives us entrance into the immediate presence of God. It gives us entrance into spiritual understanding and revelation. It gives us entrance into spiritual renewal and revival. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Knocking. Opens the door of heaven. How many of you want an open heavens over your life? Amen. And then knocking breaks down barriers. We knock when a door is closed, don't we? Yeah. It's because a closed door signifies some form of barrier or resistance. Because there's no need to knock if a door is open, right? You just walk right in. In the parable of the midnight visitor, the man knocks and keeps on knocking on his neighbor's door. Why? Because the door is closed and there is resistance from the man inside to opening the door, because he says, it's midnight. You're going to wake up my whole family. But guess what? The man keeps knocking, and his persistence overcomes the resistance. Persistence in knocking will overcome the resistance. So what happens? The neighbor opens the door and gives him all that he needs. Folks, we often meet spiritual resistance in this life. Resistance that is keeping the door of God's blessing and God's purpose and God's will closed. Resistance that is preventing the answer to our prayers from reaching to us. Maybe you remember the story in Daniel 10, when Daniel had been praying and fasting for 21 days, and finally an angel came and told him, Daniel, from the first day that you prayed, God heard your prayers. But the angel said that the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which is a representation of Satan, had blocked my way. So there was spiritual resistance. Satan was resisting the answer from coming through. And then he says, Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there in the spirit with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So what happened? God heard Daniel's prayer from the first day, but Satan was resisting the answer. Daniel could have given up. He could have given up on day 1 or day 10 or day 15, but because he kept praying, guess what? Spiritual reinforcements came. The archangel Michael came and began to do battle against Satan while Gabriel went on to bring the answer to Daniel. You see, a spiritual battle was being waged, but it was Daniel's persistence in prayer that released the angelic reinforcement that broke the resistance and released the answer. What answer has Satan been blocking in your life? What barrier, what resistance have you been experiencing? Are you willing to keep on knocking on until the resistance is defeated and the answer is released. Knocking also possesses opportunities by faith. One writer says, "Finally, Lord, I will knock on the doors you set before me because I am confident that they will open." Hallelujah. Every promise that God has made is a door for you to knock on. There are opportunities that God has placed before you. It is a door to knock on. Sometimes we give up if the door doesn't open automatically. We think, oh, well, it must not be God's will. But if it's something that God has promised you, if it is something God has spoken to you, Satan is going to resist it. Resistance doesn't mean it's not God's will. In fact, to the contrary, oftentimes resistance means that it is God's will and Satan wants to keep you from it. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Knock and it will be opened unto you." Because to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. We must keep on knocking until the door opens. Like the man with the midnight visitor, like Daniel fasting and praying for 21 days, knock with persistence, knock with expectancy, and God says the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. That's God's word to us in 2022. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Don't worry what you see happening around you. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Hallelujah. Because God has promised to reward us. If we ask, He will answer. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened. Hallelujah. For everyone. Everyone. Who? Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. That is God's promise to you. It's God's promise to me. It's like Oprah. It's His promise to you. And you get that promise, and you get that promise, and you get that promise, and you get that promise. Because it's to everyone. Everyone. So let us not become weary in well-doing. Let's not become weary in praying. But let us keep on asking. Let us keep on seeking. And let us keep on knocking. Let us pray bold and expectant prayers continually. Because God has promised that He will answer. So today, I want us to recommit to being people of prayer, people who will ask, who will seek, who will knock with persistence. And maybe you're already doing that, recommit. Maybe you haven't started doing that, well, rise up and commit today. And that's what we're going to be giving you an opportunity to do in a few moments, is to make a recommitment to prayer for the year 2022. But the most important thing about prayer is that it's about connection with God. God wants a relationship with you. God wants to talk to you every single day. Prayer is a conversation of relationship. And the first step to entering into relationship with God is to repent of our sins and place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are all sinners, and sin has separated us from God. That's the whole reason that Jesus came to earth. It's the reason that He died on the cross. He gave His life in our place to pay the penalty of sin that we deserved. And so now when we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, when we turn away from our sins and we place our faith in Jesus, the moment that we do that, the Bible says that we are born again, we're made spiritually alive, and we are brought into relationship with God as a child of God. And that's the beginning of a lifelong relationship with the Lord. And if you have not yet placed your faith in Jesus, or maybe you did it some time ago and you've drifted away, I want to encourage you to pray this simple prayer with me, to come to the Lord in faith, to repent of your sins, and to receive Him as your Savior. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I believe that You love me so much that You died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life. I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins, and I invite You to come live inside of me. Help me from this day forward to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life. And I welcome you to the family of God. But that prayer was just the beginning, not an end. It's the beginning of a lifelong relationship with God. And we want to help you grow in your relationship with Him. So we want to send you free of charge a little e-booklet. So if you're here in person and you prayed that prayer, would you text I prayed to the number on the screen, or online if you would type I prayed in the comments. And a little bit later today, we're going to send you a response with a link. Click that link, fill in your name and email address so that we can send you this e-booklet free of charge to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord and understand the prayer that you just prayed. Very quickly, three things I want to encourage you and every Christian to do every single day to grow in your relationship with the Lord. One, talk to God every day. We've been talking about that today. That's prayer. Talk to God every single day. Thank Him for the good things in your life. Invite Him to work in every area of your life where you have a need, where you're making a decision, where you have a problem, invite Him to work. That's the basic, the beginning of prayer. Secondly, let God speak to you every single day. And the number one way He speaks to us is through the Bible. That's His word, His message to us. If you don't have a Bible, you can download the YouVersion app on your phone or tablet for free, and you can read as much as you want. There's never a charge. And I encourage you to start reading in 1 John. Before you read, just ask every day for God to help you understand what He's saying to you and help you to apply it to your life. What you don't understand, just put it to the side. When you need to know it, God will let you know.
Amen.
It. But what you do understand, ask God to help you apply it to your life. And then thirdly, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in South Florida, we encourage you to be a part of our church family. We have a wonderful, loving church family that will help pray for you, encourage you, and walk alongside of you. If you're outside of the South Florida area, find an Assembly of God church near to you and put down roots deep in that church. Don't just attend services, but begin to get involved in ministries and build relationships in the church. That's how we grow. So get connected to a local Assembly of God church. Those three things are essential to our spiritual journey that we might continue to grow and walk in Him. Once again, congratulations. For the rest of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, let's not become weary in well-doing. Let's not become complacent or lax in our prayer life. We need to be a people of prayer now more than ever. So let's make a recommitment of ourselves to our daily prayer life, not only to asking, but to seek more of God's presence in our life and to knock for deeper levels of His revelation and His will and His purpose to be opened up in our life. And if it's your desire to recommit to that, if you don't yet have a habit of doing that, then I encourage you to start every day with 5 minutes of prayer, 5 minutes of worship, and 5 minutes of the Word. If you already have a habit of spending time in His presence, then I want you to recommit to that or maybe even increase that. But you're going to say, you know what, in 2022, I am committing myself to be a person of prayer, to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, and to keep on knocking. If that's your heart's desire, would you stand right where you are and let's make this commitment of our faith to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just stand before You, Lord God, and I thank You for these many that are standing along with me and those that are at home that are standing as well, Lord God. Father, we come before Your presence right now because we recognize the importance of prayer in our relationship with You. It is the conversation of relationship, and we cannot have a relationship with You if we're not talking to You, if we're not seeking You. And so, Father, today we stand before You and we recommit ourselves to You, Lord God. For those that may be just starting, Father, I pray that they would commit themselves to spend 5 minutes a day in worship, 5 minutes a day in prayer, and 5 minutes a day in Your Word. And for all of us, Lord, I pray that we would recommit ourselves, Lord God, to be people who keep on asking, to keep on seeking, and to keep on knocking, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would help us to remain fervent in prayer, Lord God, that we would not, with the passing of time, become lax or complacent, oh God, but that daily, Lord God, we would press into Your presence, Lord. Father, we ask this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, and we thank You for it, Lord God.
I want to sit at Your feet, drink from the cup in Your hand, lay back against You and breathe, feel Your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say. your peace is overwhelming.
Hallelujah, Lord. What we want more than anything else is more of you, Lord God. And that's what we need more than anything else. Lord, let us spend time daily at your feet, soaking in your presence, seeking after you, talking to you, and knocking on heaven's door. Father, I pray your blessing upon your people. I pray that even long after the service has been dismissed, that your word and your spirit would continue to minister and speak to our hearts, Lord God. Father, let your blessing be upon your people. Keep them safe and give them a day of refreshing and renewal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all so much. Thank you for coming. We hope the service was a blessing to you. We love you, New Life. Have a wonderful rest of the day, and Happy New Year to all of you. Amen. God bless you.